Such a privilege, man. It's like, just to see what God's doing. If you think about it, like if it wasn't for Jesus, none of us would probably ever have met each other. Yeah. If you think about it, we would not be in this building. We wouldn't have something in common. We wouldn't love each other. I mean, that's the power of Christ. I mean, from Sunningdale to Pinehurst to, I mean, think about it. Like, and that we love each other because of Christ's love for us. That's an amazing, what an amazing, the church is an amazing thing. That's supernatural. I'm really nervous this morning in the sense of, I think it's been confirmed, even just chatting yesterday with Willem and we slept over last night. Just, if God doesn't do what I believe that he wants to do, I'm going to look like a total idiot this morning, which is exciting, you know, I suppose, for you guys, because you're not going to look like an idiot. But I really believe that this new season isn't just a season of changing venues. I do believe it's a season of God starting something afresh and new. And the word that he gave me was awakening. He wants to awaken something fresh in us. And it's different to revival. Awakening is different to revival. It's similar but different. And then speaking last night to Willem, because I was like, very, I want to drop this word, but I'm really nervous, because if it's not God, then I'll probably get stoned or something. And he was actually, a scripture that God put on his heart was Ephesians 5 verses 14. And it says this, "For the light makes everything visible." Oh, wow, you're like a ninja. That was up really quick. "It exposes the evil deeds. That is why it said, awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." And it's so crazy. We didn't speak at all this week when it came to what God wants to say. And it's just something about God wants to awaken something new in us. The problem that we have sometimes is the older you are with the Lord. This is my 40th year walking with the Lord. And I'm 45, so I got saved really young. But it's, I've realized the longer you go with the Lord, the more familiar he becomes. The longer you walk with the Lord, the more religion can take control rather than relationship. In other words, religion is this, that if I do certain things, tick things, if I dress a certain way, if I speak a certain way, if I serve a certain way, then God hopefully will bless me and save me. That's religion. Jesus never came for that. He came for relationship. It's the difference is, because of who God is, I will be. Do you see the difference? It's not a tick box thing. It's not the way you dress. It's not the way people expect you to be. It's, I love Jesus because he is the Savior of the world. He is the King of glory. This is his church. He died for you guys. I didn't die for you guys. He did. He's building his church. And because of who he is, he can use a nobody like me. And so, in order to be awakened, God has to do something supernatural. That supernatural thing can be really scary, especially if you're caught into a religious system where it doesn't actually make sense logically. Because the supernatural, think about Jesus. He is God in heaven. He comes down in human form, giving up his godliness, and forever will have the wounds of him hanging on the cross. He'll never go back to that. He's something new. That doesn't make any sense. Why would he come and die for us? Why would he come and... Yeah, it doesn't make sense. So the supernatural doesn't make sense. When people are healed dramatically or demons come out, it doesn't make sense. You look at it and you go, this can't be. This is... My mind can't compute. And it can't, because that's... It's spiritual. It's supernatural. Sorry, I'm going down a whole road. But he wants to awaken the light inside of us. But that comes through relationship and relationship alone. Does it make sense? Are you guys with me? He wants to awaken. We are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. We're not humans trying to be spiritual. We are spirit. Because when Christ created us in the garden, what did he do? He gave us his spirit, which made us different from every other thing that was created. Men and women, human beings, you and I, are not just animals. Yeah. We're not just a second thought. We are in the image of the living God with a soul that becomes His temple. Yeah. Hi, babes. How's it? Are you waving at me? That's beautiful. And so I've learned over the years, you can speak the right stuff. You can dress the right way. You can tick all the boxes. It doesn't mean you're walking with the Lord. What it means is you're just a match in a matchbox. It's that. This is a beautiful, it's going to dovetail so well, I think. I didn't realize it was going to do it, but it's going to do it. And then, I just want to light stuff. I love fires. For some of us here, you like this. You think you're burning, but you like this. Because you're in religion, you're not in relationship. And this morning, what I'm hoping, and this is only by what God can do, He wants to take you and strike you, and He wants to set your heart ablaze again. Yo, that's hot already. Don't do that. Don't do that. So this is not a traditional preacher. This is just a prophetic inkling of what I believe that He wants to do. So how do we awaken Christ in us? I think there's a few pictures that I felt the Lord wants to just share with us quickly. So Luke 11, 5 to 13. I want to read this. Then teaching them more about prayer, He used the story. And so prayer is very powerful. I think we underestimate the power of prayer. And I'm not saying, again, not religious. It's not saying you have to put your hands like this and close your eyes and be all somber and do a thing. I'm talking about communicating with the living God. I'm talking about, don't think religion. Think, how am I going to, I mean, if I was like, Abigail, you my wife, we're going to make an appointment to sit down with you. And we are going to, if we do that every time, our marriage is going to be a little bit dry. Yeah. Sometimes she surprises me. I'm in bed and she's a morning person. And I'm not really a morning person. Brings me coffee and then I know it's coming. It's coming. 45 minutes of talking is coming. And then I'm like twitching, like, trying to wake up and process, you know. But I can see that it builds a relationship. Prayer is more than this. It's Jesus and having a conversation. I run in the mountains quite a lot, and that's my prayer time. An hour and a half of just, God, search my heart. He dropped a lot of this when I'm running the hill the other day. So prayer is not what you think. Anyways, suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight wanting to borrow a loaf of bread or three loaves of bread. And you say to him, a friend of mine has just arrived for a visit and have nothing for him to eat. And suppose he calls out from his bedroom, don't bother me. The door is locked for the night and my family and I are in bed. I can't help you. But I tell you this, though he won't do it for friendship's sake, if you keep on knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need because, I love it, because of your shameless persistence. Wow. And so I felt the Lord want to encourage you guys. I know you're praying. I know you love Him. But please continue to be shamefully persistent in trusting for these amazing, faith-filled things in this journey that He wants for you as a person, first of all, as a son or a daughter, and then for the body. Shamelessly. What did I say? You know what I meant. Shameless patient. No, no, she helps me a lot. Thank you for correcting me. And so I tell you, keep on asking and you receive whatever you ask. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open. For everyone who asks receives. Anyone who seeks finds. Anyone who knocks, the door will be open. You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if you ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts for your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit, whom those who ask Him? And so to be awakened actually is a Holy Spirit gift of persistent prayer. 40 years later, I think I'm more in love with Jesus now because I kind of understand Him a little bit more than when I was a five-year-old. I've kept on knocking. And have there been times where I wanted to resign? And yes. Where I've cried. Where I've gone like, God, I don't know why, but I don't. Like, yes. Has it been good times? Yes. Have there been bad times? Yes. Have there been times when my faith has wavered? Yes. But somehow, by just keep on knocking, keep on pushing, keep on going, God, I want to love you. I want you to set my heart ablaze every day. Every day, I need you. Every day. Yo, if I can do it, I'm not the cleverest guy. You can do it. I'm not the most spiritual guy. But there's something about, if you want to be awakened in this area, prayer is the engine for God to. So many times I've prayed, and I'm like, God, I don't know how this situation is going to be overcome. And a simple prayer, and then you get into the meeting, and it's done for you already. Like it's, wow, thank you, Lord. It's like, doesn't make sense. So that's the first picture, to be awakened. Second picture is an encouragement for us. I would encourage you to go read the story because it's a long one, so I don't want to go too many scriptures. But 1 Samuel 13, from verses 2 to about 14, verses 15, it's this amazing story. Israel is in a bit of trouble. They're not doing so well. They've got about 3,000 men, 2,000 with Saul hiding, 1,000 with Jonathan, his son. The Philistines, though, so they had 3,000 men. The Philistines had 36,000 men, 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen. It says here in 1 Samuel 13:5, says, the troops like the sand of the seashore in all the multitude. So you can imagine these 3,000 guys, the rest of Israel is scattered. There's no weapons left in the land. People are literally hiding in holes. If you go read it, it's crazy. They've run into other nations. They're hiding. They're like, we are here. We're going to get killed. It's just crazy, like uphill battle. Like, how is God going to come through for us right now? In 1 Samuel 30, it says, the men saw that they were in trouble. Literally, it says that. When the men of Israel saw they were in trouble, the people were hard-pressed. They hid themselves in caves and in holes and in rocks and in tombs and in cisterns. The Hebrews crossed. Everyone just ran. And so often, when you take new ground, when you come into a new season, like it can be really daunting looking at, like we were talking yesterday, some people, I mean, you've lived most of your life. You've never known people on this side. It's like, this is a big area. This is a big task, God. How are we going to win this valley for you? Like, how many times have you, like, this is a giant. This has to be supernatural. This has to be through prayer only and by the Holy Spirit. And so, this is the point I want to make here quickly. So, there are only two swords in the whole of the nation of Israel. Saul's got one, and Jonathan, his son, has got two, the second one. And so, there's no weapons, there's no people, there's no hope. There's this sea of enemy. And then something like, and this is the second thing, faith. Faith like this, I feel like. So, pray, just keep on knocking. Faith like this. So Jonathan says to his young man, who's armor bearer, come, let's go over to the garrison. It may be the Lord will work for us, but nothing can hinder the Lord from saving us from many. And they, you know what they say? They go, if we go there, and it's like this valley, so they're on the one side, they have to come down, they have to go up the other side. You know the story. It's a crazy story. And they shout up, and then Jonathan says to his armor bearer, if we shout out, hey, and they say, come up here, we're going to kill you. That's the Lord saying we need to go up. It's wild. I mean, I would have thought, like, if we shout up and they go like, hey, man, you guys, come on, we'll kill you. Then we take that as, okay, we're going to get killed. You know what I mean? But they deliberately go, if they call us, why wouldn't they call up two guys if they've got 36,000 people? It doesn't make sense. And so they did. And they say, come up, we'll kill you. And then they're like, cool, we're going to go up. So they go on their hands and knees, go read it. And something significant happens. And I want to read it for us. Then Jonathan climbed up on his hands and feet, and his armor bearer asked him, after him. Sorry, I should have brought my glasses. And they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer killed them after him. So check what's happening. So there's one sword. So I don't know how it worked, but Jonathan would knock them down. The armor bearer, I don't know how he killed them, would kill them, walk over the next guy, kill, walk over the next guy, kill. Hello? I think it's a guitar that's vibrating. It's exciting. Funny story, while we're trying to fix that. Funny story, that last week we were in church and I didn't see the lady get up for the keyboards, and I'm talking, and then all of a sudden I hear this music. I thought it was the angels. I was like, this is amazing. And then I turned like, oh man, I was like so excited. Like I had a similar moment. I was like, that's never happened to me before. And then they're like, Brad, look behind you. I'm like, oh. And they struck, and the armor bearer killed them. But this is the cool thing about this. Check it this. So they killed about 20 men within a few pharaohs' length. So literally, like smaller than this room. It's a really, they killed 20 men out of 36,000 men. The point I feel like the Lord wants to just encourage you with is, who's the armor bearer? He's a nobody. He's not even named. Think about that. And they had faith in God to overcome this massive task at hand. And they kill about 20 people, which is insignificant. So this is, if you get a couple of people saved this year, or the Lord does, and they come and be part of you, and they're growing in the Lord, and they're getting discipled, two people, just imagine two people out of the whole year, you've won. Because what happens next is, the Philistines, they get, I don't know what happened, but God just caused chaos in them. They killed themselves. And then what happened was, all of Israel started coming back out of their holes, out of the cisterns, out of the rocks, and they stood together and they overcame. And I feel like this is a picture for you guys. You might think, what have I got to give for the kingdom? What does anyone have to give for the kingdom? I'm a nobody, just like you are. But God, if we're faithful with all we're doing is just that one person or that one prayer, or that just getting to the scripture, or just that one act of kindness at a store. The other day we were having a meeting and I saw these two old ladies eating next to us, and I just paid for their meal. And I said to the waitress, don't tell them. I don't want, she told them. But man, the tears, like just so cute. Just, and I just said, bless you, man. You guys look like amazing. And I could, and then like, you could check, like, oh. And I said, God bless you, man. Jesus loves you. Just, who knows what that could do? Faith like that. Does it make sense? That's the second picture. Almost done. I don't want to be too long. 20 minutes. Didn't do badly. Third picture for you guys as you awaken. So awakening is prayer. Awakening is faith in the impossible, because God is God of impossible. But another one, it's keep on loving like this. 1 John 4 verses 11 to 12, because you are so fast. I'm just going to go wait for you and then... Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. And this is what I felt like he wanted to encourage us in. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. What I felt for us this morning is, love goes a long way. Think about it. Love, the world doesn't have love. The world has anger, hatred, impatience. The world doesn't have love. We have love because God loved us first. And so love, if we love each other, I'm telling you now, if you love each other as a congregation, people will hear of it. If you're loving, not just by words, but by actions, as 1 John talks about, and people hear that, that's not normal. I'm telling you, the word is going to get out there. Something supernatural is going to start happening. And they go, I want to be part of that thing. It's weird. And it might be really stretching. Because how many of us love to give, but don't like to receive? Ooh. It's easier to like to give. And then, but when you're in a pickle and money's running out, or you're having a really bad time, or there's a death in the family, and then people want to love on you, and they want to do food trains and or meal trains or whatever they call them, or How often is it very resistant? It's an interesting thing, that, isn't it? But that is showing and shining God to a world around us that doesn't have that. Jesus wants him to be seen in the nation. And so to be awakened is pray, don't give up. You're nobody? Awesome. God uses nobodies. Even if it's one little thing, who knows the effect in the kingdom that thing can have? Yeah. And just love each other. Love each other. But the kicker, the thing, again, that is the key to all of this is, and you mentioned it earlier, Zechariah 4, verses 6. And this is where it gets really scary. Then the Lord said to me, this is the word of the Lord for Zerubbabel. I don't know how to pronounce that. But good luck. I don't know if anyone knows how to pronounce that. I am so glad my mom did not give me that name. Z. This is the thing, guys. This is where the supernatural kind of meet the practical, in a sense. It's not by might nor by power. And so let me just quickly. So the word might in this context means army, force, ability, efficiency, human resources. So read it in that way. Not by the army, by force, by our own ability, by our effectiveness, by our human resource. Okay? Nor by power. The word power in this context means by own abilities, by our plentiful resources, by our fierce determination. So not by anything that we can present in our own strength, in other words. That's crazy. And this is where it gets really, really, really scary. But by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. It's a spiritual, supernatural, opening our hearts and our minds to God's spirit to say, I want to be filled by you. I want to live in the supernatural. I don't want to live religion. I want to live relationship. When we, as a community of believers, get to that point, awakening happens. And is the Holy Spirit scary? For sure. I remember coming out of the Baptist context, quite traditional. Go to Sunday PM, I'm leading there, and these oaks are like in the spirit, twitching like a fish. And I said to Abby, this thing is not the Lord. There's something weird. And then they kept on singing the same lines of the songs all the time. I'm like, do they not practice? What is this? What is this weird thing that we've signed up for, you know? But then I realized it's actually them waiting on the Holy Spirit. And these guys love Jesus. And they just can't contain his presence. And then I started operating in the Spirit myself. And then it was like, oh, God, there's a whole other dynamic that I was not even aware of. And so I want to end in this way. I believe the Lord wants to strike our hearts are in place again this morning. I do. But it's only by his presence. So if you want this, if you're willing to step into this new season of ignited prayer and doing amazing things, even if they seem small, just loving each other better, then could I ask you to respond to the Lord this morning? It's not about Brett, and this hasn't been the most technical preach that anyone has ever given you. You've known this stuff. But he has to do it. And I've got faith that he wants to do it. And I have faith that he will do it. And even if it's a start, because a fire doesn't start raging, it starts small, it starts by spark. Even if there's a spark in some of us this morning, I'm happy with that. Because who knows what a spark can do. And so if you want this, please think about it quickly. Just like if you want to be transformed by the Spirit of God in ways that will blow your mind. If you're hungry to fire for him. Then there has to be an act of faith, right? Action. So will you stand? But please don't stand if you don't want it. Please. Whatever, if you stand and let's ask the Lord. And if you're sitting, there's no frown. This isn't a shame, name a shame thing. This is, and then can I ask you to do some weird, other weird things maybe for you? Might be weird. My kids, when I give them birthday gifts or Christmas gifts, or I've never seen them take a gift with their closed hands. Never. You have to take it. So could I ask you, I know even if you're more traditional, open your hands. It's a sign of opening your heart. It's like, I'm opening myself up to you, Holy Spirit. Father God, I want to thank you for this amazing moment of you building your church. Thank you for this amazing hub who I can just sense are just so eager for you to just do whatever you want to do. And Lord, this morning we want to ask that you'll be gracious upon us. That you will pour your Spirit afresh upon us this morning. That you will ignite our hearts in a way that we've never burned before. And this is only by your Spirit, God. That you will just set us afire, Lord. That we will be like that prophet of old that said, Lord, your word is in my bones. Your Spirit is in my bones. It's a light. And they're trying to shut me up, but I can't because I have to let it out. That you'll break through religion. You'll break through you just like ticking boxes and saying the right things, Lord. That we will live a real Spirit-filled, meaningful relationship with you. That this valley, this area, Kherba, and around, will just burst into life. Because you are here. Because you're doing it. Ignite new gifts, Lord. New faith, God. Lord, a new passion for your word. A new passion for prayer. A new passion for worship. Evangelism. Lord, that we'll be unwavering, Lord. There'll be so much boldness, God. In us, Lord, that we'll just see you opening doors. Awaken, Lord, our souls are asleep, but awaken. That we'll see you in new ways. Come and have your way. Come and have your way, Lord. Not for our glory, not for our name, but for your name, Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the fruit that we are seeing already. But Lord, we ask as new trees are planted, that new fruit will come. That as people come and go, they'll just be taking seed wherever they go. Come, Holy Spirit. Start something new. We're hungry for you. Just going to wait a little bit if we don't mind. Just don't want to rush this. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Fill this place and fill the atmosphere. God is what our hearts long for. To be overcome with your glory, Lord. Lord, I want to just pray right now, just even as we wait on you, Lord. If there's anyone here this morning that has never got to that place in their lives where they've gone, Jesus, I believe that you are the Savior of my soul. I believe you came to walk this earth, to die for me. That's the gospel. The good news is we're all destined for an eternity without God. It's a place called hell. Without his love, without his presence, without his grace. If there's anyone here this morning that you're going like, there's something different in me. Something, I don't know, I can't even explain it possibly. I believe that might be the Lord Jesus going, I want to save you. I want to give you salvation. I want to make you a child of God. And when Jesus walked this earth, he said these two things. He said, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that I am Christ, salvation comes. And so again, can I just reiterate that religion is I'm ticking boxes. It doesn't mean you have a relationship with Jesus. It doesn't mean you've given your life to him. It just means you're ticking boxes. So if there's anyone here this morning that hasn't committed, bad, made Jesus Lord and Savior, I would love to just invite you to do the most amazing thing that you could ever do, something that will change your eternity actually, to receive him as Lord and Savior. Say, I don't know if there is anyone here. If there is someone, it doesn't matter if you're young or old, I mean, I got saved when I was five.